Hello and welcome to Harvest Church Podcast. Harvest Church is based in sunny Durban, South Africa. We are a family of believers who are passionate about Jesus. We really hope this message inspires you today.
Morning, morning. Let me pray for me. Father, thanks. Thanks for everyone that's here. Thank you. Thank you for your heart for us and your heart towards us. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for each person that means so much to you that's here today. Thank you, King Jesus, that you're here. By your Spirit in our hearts and upon us. And I thank you. An honor and a privilege to honor you. And I trust today that we'll see you rightly for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the last time I was up, and before I do that, George and Leanne are with Amberlee. She's out from the States with five of her friends, and they got to experience the bush, and now they're together as family, so that's why they're not here. So I think they'll be back next week, so that's where they are. But the last time I ministered, I preached on the mandate is the same. And because I wanted to bring a big picture view of really of what we are all a part of. And some people might not have been in a church for a long time, and maybe you've only had a church experience, but you really don't really understand the kingdom. So I've wanted to bring two messages and maybe some more in the future, but the mandate's the same. And the first one was around discipling the nations. And because biblically there are two commissionings for us. And the first commissioning comes from Genesis, and that's what I want to share with us today. And if you walk out here today, I want you to get this. Kingdom theology 101 is this: what happened in Adam and what happened in Jesus. And I'm going to try and bring it into that place, throw some big ideas out to you, and then we reason from the whole. So we want to get a big picture of the kingdom of God, and then we work it out at the part. So the kingdom of God and what God has done in Christ, then where do I exist and how do I exist? But once we get a kingdom perspective, we start to understand why certain things happen and why certain things should align up within the church in a kingdom perspective, in a kingdom reality, and a kingdom outworking. And it started in Genesis. Now, in Genesis, God's original intent is his eternal intent. So if it's an eternal intent, he's always going to bring it back to the original one. And we have got such a beautiful part to play in his heart and his desire for humanity. And I trust today that we catch purpose out of it. We catch meaning out of it. We catch, oh, this is why we exist, and this is why God is populating and propagating through multiplying through families, individual families, and then through families of churches and kingdom families who know what it is to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, to have dominion over, to exercise authority in what was broken, now being restored in Christ. You and I have a job description. And he created you so uniquely and so specifically. So there's so many job requirements. There's so many jobs out there. So many commissions. So many giftings. So many talents. Why? To bring the kingdom of God. To extend the kingdom of our Father. And how do we do that? So the second message is to rule and to reign. And it comes from this, the dominion mandate. So I want to take us out into the big picture and tell us the story again. And then go, okay, where is our part and where do we get to exist? And how he arms us, how he gives us everything that we need. He says it's his good pleasure to give us the keys of the kingdom, to unlock the realms of heaven here on earth, because Jesus taught us to pray. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because when God created you and I, and he created Adam and Eve, he created them with the ability to contain the other realm. Everything else he created as a reflection of the kingdom of heaven, but without the ability to contain it. He created you and I out of the original design of Adam with the ability to contain the realm of heaven, to bring that culture into this place and space, into this mess currently. And I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's read. Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us. There's a unity within the Godhead. Let us make man in our image. The Creator created you and I out of his image. And the fundamental place and position that he functions from is Father. Created from Father and after our likeness, and let them have dominion, rule and reign, to prevail against, over the fish of the sea, fishermen listen, fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping little thing that creeps on the earth, all your phobias, you mean to have dominion over it. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. His eternal intent, original desire, that you and I are fruitful, multiply, subdue. You know, why subdue? Why did God say, now subdue what I've created? Because the earth and this beautiful colony that we call the planet that we live on only comes into its fullest potential when you and I exercise our authority and our dominion. You see, and when we understand the kingdom, we'll understand how to do business. We'll understand how to do family. We'll understand how to do church. And when people talk about fivefold giftings and they talk about deacons and elders and they talk about, it's wise, because God's got a plan and he's got a pattern, because you and I should be the manifold wisdom of God that reveals his nature to the world. We have to do it together. And that's why it requires this beautiful thing of humility and unity, that people from different walks of life that can connect together, and we can do it together. Because he abolished the walls that cause hostility and division. He abolished all of it. And there's a different requirement within the kingdom. It does not look like the world. And as believers, we find our purpose in the kingdom because we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. And there's two different kingdoms. And you and I get to participate in bringing this beautiful kingdom that he established and restores and redeems back to God's original heart and intent. And you and I get to do that in the place and the space that we get to breathe in its oxygen before we enter into an eternity with him. But that's not the only role, to get Jesus and go to heaven. No, it's to enter into the kingdom of his son, to bring his realm here so we can make it look like God's original intent. Impossible with God these things are possible. With man, these things are impossible. And it's taken generations. And it's still taking generations. The earth is so bad, we shouldn't go, I'm going to lock myself up in my room and wait until Jesus comes back to rescue me. We should get excited because the mandate was to subdue and bring in right alignment of what kingdom mandate is. So, oh my goodness, we've got this beautiful responsibility. Every day, men and women, sons and daughters, families, extending the kingdom of God. So I want to ask a question. Did the fall of man, and you'll find it, I'll always give you lots of homework. I don't like to make it easy for you when I preach. Homework is this, Genesis 3, the fall of man. There was a deception that came through the enemy. And the enemy came and he deceived Eve. God gave Adam a command, and God made covenant with Adam because all comes out of Adam. And then they were deceived and there was a temptation. And they fell through that temptation. They gave into what the enemy offered instead of standing on what God had already revealed and given. And the fall happened in that moment, and Jesus had to come and do something very specific in that realm as well. But that happened, and the question is, did that destroy the Father's intent? Now the Father had to have a different intention. No, it didn't. It was just a glitch in the system. It was just a hiccup on the journey because he had all things settled before the foundations of the earth. So that which was broken, he came to fix in Christ. And when Christ came, he came to restore and to redeem the Father's intention for mankind and for the planet to look like the kingdom of heaven. So stay with me. Because there's so many things that I'm hoping that will bubble up within you. And your mind will pop open in the reality of, oh, is that why? Is that why? Is that why? If we get two things going, Adam broke it, Jesus fixed it. We get to extend it. He didn't make it easy for us. It's like we waited so many years and there's so many established cultures within the kingdom of darkness or the world system. And he places us in there. And he goes, okay, go for it. Go and do it. I've given you my spirit. I've given you my ability, my enabling power, my grace. I've given you wisdom. I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. Now go and do it. So I'm not going to be able to undo the whole kingdom within this moment, but I'm going to give you snapshots of these moments. The first thing that God did, we think, is give him Eve. No, he didn't. He gave him a job. He gave him a job first. So friends, within that, your work can be worship. Your work is an extension of the kingdom of God. Your work. And that's why God wants to bless your work. Because if it's about the kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added. If you are pursuing the things, that's all you receive. If you receive the kingdom and his righteousness, those things become attracted to you. But then came Eve. And she was so much like him because she came out of him. I just had a little look at my wife, and that's why I had a little cry there. See, out of everything created, only an Adam and Eve could contain the eternal realm. And then God, who made a covenant with Adam, he commissions Adam and Eve. He commissions them together. He commissions marriages. He Chemish's families. You see, he did not give Adam the mandate to rule over Eve, or Eve over Adam. Let's pause there. In my notes here, I've only got three sentences and then I've got to move on. But you see, it's the very thing that the enemy has tried to destroy. And he's brought other options, and he's brought brokenness, and he's brought hurt into these marriages. And then they break off because the enemy knows if they connect to the kingdom's intent to be fruitful and multiply and subdue, then he's going to lose, even though he understands that he ultimately loses. So he gets in there. Yes, there's different roles and there's different functions and there's different abilities and there's different giftings. But when God commissions, he commissions them together, and there's no separation with men and women in ministry. There's no separation in destiny, and there's no separation in purpose. There's no separation in vision for life. Go subdue you two together. And then we go a family, the church with moms and dads, and we multiply. And what does that look like in the kingdom? Oh, churches, plant churches, and we fruitful and we multiply. And you go to places and spaces that might not exist, or you go to places that need restoration or redeeming of what God's original intent for that local church was. I may be speaking to potential church planters in this room, because that's his extension of being fruitful and multiplying. So the dominion mandate was given. Deception, temptation happened. Adam and Eve disobeyed, sin, the fall happened. And God, he calls out in the garden and says, Adam, where are you? Maybe he was asking Adam in that moment, because there's so many preachers on, where are you? Maybe he was going, oh, Adam, where are you? Why are you not in your rightful position any longer of authority and dominion? And maybe he says to the church, church, where are you? When are you going to come back to your original intention and position of authority in the earth to release the manifold wisdom of God and his glory? And they were placed out of the garden, and Satan became the god of this world. We don't deal with flesh and blood now, we deal with powers and principalities. But not on our own, and not to try and do what Jesus has already done. He's established something for us, and we walk on the platform and the foundation of what he's already done. Now Jesus enters into this place, and before Jesus enters, most prophets, they even say, listen, I don't want your religious works. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your burnt offerings. The law of Moses wasn't my choice for the people of Israel. Intimacy was. Why couldn't we have just stayed in the Abrahamic covenant of intimacy and connection? But then we've made religion, and we've kept ourselves in, or we've kept ourselves out by our good works or our religious duties. And he's saying, no, I've always wanted you to know me. I've wanted you to fellowship with me. I've wanted you to connect with me. I wanted you to go back to the original intention of my internal intention. Birthed out of intimacy. You see that in Isaiah, he prophesies that, but then Jesus comes. And the revealing in Isaiah, and I'll read it quickly, Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will doing that. God was establishing someone again to come and redeem and to restore what Adam lost. That was his mandate. He was born in this natural realm containing the kingdom of heaven. In total right standing with the Father. And Jesus, at 30, begins to minister as the last Adam, not as a second Adam, because there's not a third Adam, as the last Adam to restore all things. And after his baptism, and you go and see that in Matthew 3, after his baptism and the Holy Spirit comes and rests upon him, he enters into his destiny, and he enters into his destiny with no original creative thought, because it was all about the Father's intent. Everything that he had known from where he was and existed in eternity before the foundations of the world, he was going to come and bring that and restore it and make it like God's heart originally intended and desired. We appreciate Christ so much more when we understand that he came and fixed what was broken. And he draws others to himself, and he teaches them, and he demonstrates the kingdom of God. And you go and study it in Luke 4. But this was another moment. His baptism was such a powerful moment. Death, burial, and resurrection. And he raised up out of the water, and the Spirit of God came upon him and rested upon him. And the first assignment that he had, as he went into the wilderness, he went into the desert. You know, it all started in a garden, and because of sin, Jesus went and redeemed all things in a desert to recreate a garden. So in the worst of the worst, the Holy Spirit says, go. And he was tempted by the devil for 40 days, and he didn't eat. And in that place, the Bible says he was hungry, and the enemy, he asks him three questions and brings him to three scenarios, and all Jesus says, it is written. He does the very thing that Adam should have done in the garden. Adam should have said, it is said, God said. Jesus said, it is written. It is written. It is written. Go and read it for yourself in Luke 4. His first mandate, and their mandate, it says, and he was full of the Holy Spirit when he went in. And he resisted the temptation of the enemy, because everything he had was birthed out of intimacy, and because the enemy could offer him nothing that he had already found in Father and himself. And the Spirit of God was there, and the angels tended to him as the enemy had no more to throw at him. And it said, and he left him for a more opportune time. So what Adam broke in covenant by falling for temptation, Jesus established covenant by standing and resisting. And it says this in Hebrews. For we do not have a high priest, Hebrews 4:15, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Oh, I keep falling into temptation. You haven't read Corinthians, it says, he will make a way out. You haven't read Romans 4:16, that sin shall no longer have dominion or mastery over you, for you now function in the kingdom of grace and not under the law, because the law revives the very sin that you're trying not to do. It's only by the grace of God. But Jesus faced that moment first. Why? Because he had to face the moment that Adam fell in. And he stood as a man in right standing with the God, with the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. Our positioning as believers now, in right standing with the Father, filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is where victory starts. This is where the enemy starts to tremble. This is where the enemy tries to throw everything at Jesus. And Jesus starts to make all things right. And he starts to reestablish. And he starts to teach. And he starts to demonstrate. And it says this in Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He was undoing the work of the enemy with authority and power, because it says he came out of the desert in the power of the Holy Spirit. So he went in full of the Holy Spirit. He came out with power. I want to watch that movie so bad. We think all the Marvel movies and all of the things that the world system is trying to portray as powerful. Can you imagine that moment? It was for the whole of humanity in a moment. And then he goes to the cross, the encounter that forever changes all of our lives, where the whole kingdom comes into a culmination of you personally. That with joy, his face set like flint, he endured the cross because he had you in his mind and his heart. And after he sorted out a family little situation at the cross, says, "Mom, here's John. John, take care of my mom." He sorts out family. Why? Because it's always originated in his heart as family. And then on the cross, he says, "It is finished." And we've heard so many messages around, "It is finished." The sin problem, separation problem, but a rulership problem was sorted out in that day. And he said, "It is finished." He spoke it to the seen realm and he spoke it to the unseen realm. And actually he pointed. No, he was here, but he pointed with his face. "Enemy, your day has just finished. Your rulership is now over. Your rulership on planet Earth is over." And he rendered him powerless. Everything shifted that day, and you can see it in Matthew. The day became dark, the temple curtain was torn and rocks were split and graves were opened and saints were raised and power was released. A kingdom was being released on the earth again. The reestablishment and the rulership and the dominion over the earth again. Why? His eternal intent, original intent, Jesus was bringing it back. Jesus was raised from the dead. And in that little journey, he was with his boykies for about 40 days and he took them, and you see it in John 20, and he breathes on them and he enters, they receive again the container, the ability to contain the other realm. Up until that point, the Holy Spirit would come upon people, but they could not exist in the fulfillment of who they were if the Holy Spirit wasn't upon them. You and I now have the ability to contain. We're the dwelling place of God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to contain heaven's culture. That's why we're called naturally supernatural. And he who is in us then comes upon us for the sake of ministry. What is the ministry? Be fruitful. Multiply, subdue, have dominion over. And you think about it, and you think of Jesus' life when he was walking. Now you can think to yourself, man, he told Peter, "Throw your net over the other side." And all these fish were there. Why? Because he was exercising his right and his authority over all of the fish of the sea. He sorts out a storm. Why? He was exercising his right and reestablishing the kingdom of God and kingdom rule where the demonic forces were in operation. See, miracles and all of those things were a normal part of his life in reestablishing the kingdom of God and bringing his rule and his reign. Why did he go and heal the sick? Why did he raise the dead? Why did he cleanse the leper? Because everything was out of order because of Adam. He brought order back of the kingdom and the heart of the Father and his desire. You see, doing all of those things as a doctrine outside of the lens of the kingdom and the reason why is we get messed up with man's doctrines. And we become impotent. Oh, God doesn't do that anymore. If it's God's will. No, it is his will because Jesus came and showed us is his will because he came to reestablish what Adam broke and he came and restored it and he redeemed it. So everything we do in life and subdue, sometimes children are hard to subdue, but we do it differently now. We do it differently. Discipline looks different. Life looks different. Kingdom families look different because there's buy-in from everybody. But if we understand the why, if my children understand the why of my nose sometimes, they understand I don't want the kingdom of the world or the darkness inside of my home. Because why? My home is an establishment of the kingdom and his rule and his reign. And when someone walks into that home, they have to experience the presence of God. Yes, so it's messy. Yes, it's all of those things. We're in a war, friends. Don't think we're not. If you come to Cushy Church, then you won't believe you're in a war. He wants to commission families. He wants to commission marriages. He wants to commission singles. He created you, male and female. And we can answer so many questions around our cultural norm and narrative that's been pushed at us right there. This is the establishment of the kingdom of God. And the church exists inside of that, not as the primary. Now you know. Why do I come and worship? Why does Des get lost in worship? Why do they get lost in worship? Why? I'm extending the kingdom. Because someone who comes into my presence will experience the king. Why do we want to preach? Why do we want to teach? Why do we want to equip? Jesus said, hey boys, when you go, boom, kicks them out. Says, now go, tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. And heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper. Extend the kingdom. Bring into right order my Father's intention for mankind. Don't allow people to stay in the kingdom of darkness and make excuses for our powerlessness. We have to go back in the fear of God on our knees before God and say, God, I repented into this kingdom. I want to keep doing it. You know, here's the thing, friends. If we've only got an idea of the gospel of salvation, what we do is we only understand what we've come out of. We don't understand what we've come into. If you understand, oh, you see, no, now I feel it. We have to preach the gospel of the kingdom so people can understand what they come into. Because if it's only come to Jesus, and if you don't do all of these things, you're not going to get in and then go to heaven one day. What is the point? Yes, luck, man. You and I have got a mandate from the King. He created you to look like himself. Jesus came. He was on the cross. He took the sin of the world upon himself, yours included. Every curse, every single thing was done at the King at the cross in that moment. Why? Because he wanted to establish his nature in you, his righteousness in you, so that you can behave differently in a world that needs us to bring change. And you know what? He gives it to you freely and graciously by his grace. Amen. Amen. I gave myself a head rush there. No, thanks, baby. You see, if we get a picture, Jesus, this is what you did, then you and I, we've got purpose. When we see something out of line, we go, Father, I need your wisdom. I need your wisdom. How do I bring alignment? How do I bring kingdom here? Father, oh, my business is not. How do I bring your kingdom? Jesus, show me. Holy Spirit, the Bible said the Holy Spirit's with you. He said he's going to teach you what's still to come. We've been included in his union. We've been included in him. He wants us to succeed within the kingdom, but it's not going to come without a fight. Jesus did everything for mankind. You and I can do a little thing for him, and it will be powerful in the kingdom. You see, it just makes sense now, friends. Oh, come to Jesus. Oh, yeah, come on. Your worship expels darkness. Your deep prayer to not give up in your own realm of darkness is worship unto Him. In your pain and getting healing, that's worship, because you go, you know what? He made provision for my healing. And I'm going to come across somebody else, and I fought the fight. I fought this fight for somebody else's. And that's why we don't allow each other to remain in those places. We fight for one another. You see, now we understand what this thing of church is, of family. I think we're still far away from it. I think Jesus is going to come to His church before He comes for His church. And He's going to ask His church, He's not going to say to the church, well done. He's going to ask us, what have you done? Because it's been so outside of the kingdom. I'm a simple guy, and this makes sense to me. I know. Get up in the morning, because Jesus made provision for me. So Jesus was raised. He breathed on His boys, and they became His sons in the kingdom. He gives the second commission. He says, go, teach them what I've commanded. Go and show them how to do this. Go and show them. And if you don't know how to do it, and go to Stu and say, how do you heal people? How does it work? Show me. How does this happen? We teach, and we encourage, and we build each other up. We prophesy, and we learn how to hear God for ourselves and for others. And then 120 were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, He told a whole lot of people, more than 500 to go. With a couple of days, whatever the math is, they didn't pitch up because, Jesus hasn't done it yet. No, they waited. And He came with fire, and the church was birthed. The fire needs to rekindle the birthing of God's original desire for what church is. I'm landing. Daniel, I've got a little scripture. Daniel 7:14, this prophecy comes true when Jesus goes to the cross and He's raised from the dead. Daniel 7:14, it says this. Then to Him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages would serve Him. This dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. In His kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Verse 27, then the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. Psalm 115, 16, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth He has given to the children of men. You see, our free will, we either can choose the will of God or we can oppose the will of God. You are free to choose that. But I want to say, here's a kingdom. And you and I have got purpose within this kingdom. What's the purpose outside of the kingdom? There isn't much. Man, kingdom businesses. Why? We need to extend it. Your billions, it's going to take a extend. We're going to plant churches, and people in this house are going to get raised up, and they're going to get full of the fire of God, and they say, God, this is the reason why I live. This is the reason why I exist. We're going to ask God, why is it not working right now? Give me wisdom. Kingdom families, if you're a sportsman, God, why? You've given me this talent. I'm going to glorify You in everything that I do, because the ability comes from who You've created me to be. And my parenting, all of these things. Man, 20 years and I feel like I'm only tasting of what the kingdom possibilities in God could look like. Luke 12 says, do not fear, little flock, for it is Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Matthew 16, 19, Jesus will give you the keys of the kingdom. And then Jesus prays for us. In John 17, He says, I do not pray that You take them out of the world, but that You keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. As You've sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. And it happens not by striving, It happens by grace. Jesus came with grace and truth, the ability of God to live truth. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we still have the mandate to continue fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion and authority. Here's the thing. There's still things that are broken. Jesus came to redeem it. He was in and out. 3 years of ministry. Hand over. Now, man, some of us have been doing it for a long time, and it's tough. Don't give up. Don't stop doing the good work that God has for you. That's why we encourage one another. That's why we lift one another up. That's why we help one another. That's why we pull one another out of the mire. That's why we won't allow each other to go into the kingdom of darkness because of its pleasure of temptation. No, Jesus, you did it. You make a way out. I shall not be mastered by it, because righteous sons and daughters aren't mastered by that. They're mastered by the King and His nature. And His original intent. You have so much purpose in what you're studying, in what you're doing, in your work. Go there and do the kingdom. Watch God bless your finances, because you're about the kingdom. You're about His righteousness, not your own. All these things will be added. Let's stand, let's pray. Heavenly Father, every single person in this room was in your original intent and eternal intent. You predestined us to be in the likeness of Christ for these purposes. Jesus, when we say you did it all, you did it all. And then you empower us by your Spirit. Be empowered by the Spirit of God today. Holy Spirit, Jesus, baptize your church again with power, I pray. We need you, Holy Spirit. We're dependent upon you. We lean upon you. We need a young generation, a middle generation, an older generation to be filled with the fire and the presence of God again. So we can become witnesses of your kingdom. I thank you that we have purpose in you. I thank you that you've chosen us, that you've created us in your image and in your likeness. And you give us the keys of the kingdom. You hand them to us because you trust us with your kingdom and with the keys of the kingdom. And Father, we go out and we bind up everything that is broken, and we loose and release heaven's resolve, healing, and balm to a hurting world. We've got purpose. We've got so much purpose in your kingdom, Jesus. So I thank you for each individual that you know, that you love, gifted, talented. Raise them up in this moment like this, Lord God. Let people get real before you again. Let us understand what we're repenting into instead of out of. We're repenting into a kingdom. We change our mind about the kingdom. So I thank you, my fellow friends, brothers and sisters, and warriors for this kingdom. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.